Thank you, Aneta, for the introduction. So today we're going to see at this presentation the EOSC advisory groups. It's good to know that before we named it advisory groups, it was working groups. So we have basically two phases of the EOSC governance. We have the interim EOSC governance scheme, and then the establishment of the EOSC association and the permanent and current EOSC governance. The interim governance phase was from 2019 to 2020. So we have three governing bodies. We have the EOSC Governance Board that includes the representatives of the European countries, the member states, and the associated countries. And they were there to ensure the effective supervision and implementation of the EOSC. We had the EOSC Executive Board that included the representatives from the research and infrastructure communities. And it was there to ensure the implementation of EOSC and be accountable for it. And lastly, the EOSC Stakeholder Forum that was organized by the EOSC Secretariat. And we had representatives from a wider range of actors, and they were tasked to provide input and recommendations. So we had six working groups, the landscape, fair, architecture, rules of participation, skills and training, and sustainability. Each of these working groups produce a number of reports, analysis, and recommendations, and produce more than 17 tangible outcomes. You can find also the link at the right part of the slide where you can find all the working groups' outcomes. NIFOS Europe participated in four out of six working groups, in the landscape working group, architecture, skills and training, and sustainability. We had major participated from the NIFOS Europe with from our partners. And also I have put a link that you can check. We have a deliverable on all the intermediate activities and the liaison activities, which we describe what exactly and how we contributed to these working groups, and not only to the specific four working group, but also to the others through the regional contribution from our project. So, in July 2020, we have the establishment in Brussels of the EOSC Association, that is a legal entity, and we have now the current and permanent EOSC governance scheme. So, the governance is a tripartite. We have, from the one side, the European Commission that represents the European Union. We have the steering board that represents the member state and the associated countries. And we have the EOSC Association. Now, the EOSC Association comprises of four bodies. We have the General Assembly, that it is the supreme authority of the association, and has the delegates from the members and the observers of the association. We have the board of directors, in which the president is the chair of the board. It's Karel now. And we have other eight directors that are appointed by the delegates of the General Assembly. We have also the Secretary General, that is Ute, and she's entrusted with the day-to-day management of the association and leads the EOSC Secretariat. And we have the advisory groups and the numerous task forces, there are 13 in total, that are addressing the issues relating to the mission and the operation of the EOSC Association. It is also important to mention the EOSC partnership and the Memorandum of Understanding that was signed by the European Commission and the EOSC-A. And it is very important because the task forces will also help in the coordination and the steering of EOSC. Another important element is the Strategic Research and Innovation Agenda, the SRIA, that you will hear tomorrow by René. But before going to analyze the advisory boards, it's good to know some issues about it. So basically the SRIA, the Strategic Agenda, includes all the general framework for all the future research, development, and innovation activities in relation to the EOSC for the three phases. René and Mikel also showed the three phases of for EOSC, and it is for a period of 7 years. The important issue on this is that it's a live document, so it will be further developed, and it is very important because they will draw inputs from the association members, but also from the task forces. So here are the 5 advisory groups and the 13 task forces. You can find with a green link the charter of each task force. The charter of the task force is the proposal and what they are going to do for the following period, what exactly they are planning to do and what are their plans. So let's see the first advisory board is the implementation of EOSC and comprised of 3 task forces. The first one is the persistent identifiers policy and implementation. And its main aim is to identify the gaps of the PID ecosystem in the current SRIA version and provide also recommendations for the PID's management and set up criteria and certification of the PIDs. The second task force is the research engagement and adoption. Its aim is to engage the different research communities in order to increase their participation into the EOSC, and its main goal is to explore an aspect that is not part of the SRIA, and will also provide plans to facilitate the onboarding of researchers into the EOSC. The last task force is the Rules of Participation Compliance Monitor, ROP, that its aim is to define the monitoring process of the different ROPs by setting up a dedicated framework. Now, each advisory group has links and liaison with the EOSC association boards. For example, for the first one, for the implementation of EOSC, is Suzanne Dimoussel, the liaison. The second advisory group is the metadata and data quality. Here we have 2 task forces. We have the FAIR Metrics and Data Quality Task Force that its aim is to implement the proposed FAIR metrics for the EOSC, test a range of various tools to enable the uptake. And the second task force is the semantic interoperability that its aim is to build on the EOSC interoperability framework in order to further develop and implement the semantic interoperability recommendations. The third advisory group is the Research Careers and Curricula. Here we have 3 task forces. We have the Data Stewardship Curricula and Career Paths that will focus on the data stewards' role and their core activities. And its aim is to help the researchers make FAIR data necessary to have also professional staff and a common curriculum for their skills. The second task force is the Research Careers Recognition and Credit, and its aim is to address incentives and rewards for the researchers in order to manage and share their data and all the other research outputs. The last task force of this advisory group is the upskilling countries to engage in EOSC, and its aim is to assist in aligning the skills initiatives and support also the onboarding of countries into EOSC. The fourth advisory group is the technical challenges on EOSC. Here also we have 3 task forces. We have the AA architecture that will produce the next version of the AA architecture policy and will identify new cases and requirements. The second task force is the infrastructures for quality research software that its aim is to deploy tools and services that allow researchers to properly archive, describe, share, and reuse their research software, but also will identify best practices to write quality research software and identify methodologies to provide measurement of quality. The last task force is the technical interoperability of data and services, and its aim is to use the EOSC interoperability framework recommendation in order to help develop the EOSC core and the EOSC exchange as it is described now in to the SRIA. The last advisory group, but very important, is the sustaining of EOSC. We have 2 task forces. We have the financial sustainability task force that its aim is to produce a proposal for long-term financial sustainability, and the other task force is the long-term data preservation. The aim of this task force is to provide recommendations on the vision and sustainable implementations of long-term data preservation policies and practices. The important elements for the advisory groups is that, first of all, they help the steering and the implementation of the EOSC. Also, they are tasked to identify the strategic gaps and also the areas in order to for investment and input and feedback to the SRIA. All the task forces are liaising with the various EOSC projects, and they will offer feedback and advice that it is very fruitful. And the last point is that each of the task forces focuses on a very specific set of topics, and we hope that we'll continue this to produce tangible results as it happened before with the working groups. The advisory groups now are closed. It was an open call with numerous submissions, but now you can fill in to the EOSC Association stakeholder registry if you want to know everything about the EOSC Association and all the latest updates. I have put the link there. First time, we have also a portal for the coordination between the advisory groups and their task forces. It's on the forum.eosc.eu, and it is a very meaningful tool that we didn't have into the previous working groups. And with this portal, the main aim is that we want to facilitate the discussion between the task forces, but also sharing updates and latest news. So you can see that also it's today, I think, recent that we have the tripartite event, for example, in Ireland or something like that, or the other relevant news. Here also, as we did in the working groups, and NIFOS Europe was present, we had 12 partners from our consortium that participated, and almost 10 countries were represented from the NIFOS Europe region to the ESCA advisory groups. You can see here that we participated in all advisory groups and into the majority of the task forces. So this is my final slide. NIFOS Europe has done a lot for the EOSC governance, from supporting the EOSC governing board and executive board. Now we are supporting also the steering boards. We had provided input as a project to all the strategic documents, such as the Fair Lady Report or the SRIA. And you saw that we have a very strong participation into the EOSC working groups and now in the EOSC advisory groups. We have also very good representation into the EOSC Association. We have 6 mandated organizations and 12 members and 6 observers. This means that 12 out of the 15 countries that are into the NIFOS Europe region are already engaging into the EOSC Association. And because we are seeing now the NIFOS support to the EOSC governance, I have put also on the left side the NOSCIS, the National Open Science Cloud Initiatives, that it was one of the biggest goals of this project to establish in all countries in our region, that Eleni tomorrow, if I'm not wrong, will present in detail. That's all from me. Thank you very much.